Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I love His ways. I love His will. I love His kindness, and I know that He is good to us. He loves us so much, and He put a strong message on my heart today, and I thank Him for it. Today is Friday, January the 14th, 2022. And I thank God for this day. Another day that the Lord our God has made. And He wants His people to be just like He is. As He is, so are we in this world. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to go forward representing Him everywhere we go. The light that Jesus gave us. He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, you are the light of the world, salt of the earth. You know, we have a high calling in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. So we have a high calling in Christ Jesus. When we take that responsibility and glorify God through our actions and our ways, you know, everything gets, you live a life of order in a world where there's so much disorder. It gets attention. It gets good attention. It helps people see the handiwork of God in a man. See, people, if you're 20 years old, people expect you to be the average 20-year-old. Let's say you you went to college. You got skipped in high school. You went to college. You finished, and you began a career at an early age. And you're 24 years old, and you have a wonderful job making a substantial amount of money. And you lived according, you heard the words of the pastors coming up that you had. You took good counsel from the mentors you had, the people in, you know, your parents and their friends that were godly, your Sunday school teachers. And then you went to college and you finished. You break through the culture, the college culture. There's a culture on college. Sometimes it's anti-Christ, anti-Christian culture, but you break through it anyway. And you come out of it at a young age and you begin a career. And people will expect you to be the average 24-year-old. And until you speak. If you speak according to the wisdom of God, it gets notable attention because you're living a life that's exceptional, you know. And I've seen this so many ways. It's amazing. Some people make godly decisions continually, and they spend time in the Lord's presence. When people spend time in the Lord's presence, it's obvious. They live differently. It doesn't matter what they do, you know, for a living. Things begin to heal in their life. Their concepts begin to grow. And over time, they have skill sets that people don't expect. Now, breaking through is a very important part of life. I want to, you know, there was a man named Jephthah, and he broke through. But before we show you how he broke through, I want you to see something. Look at, go back to Genesis chapter 3. See, if you start at the beginning, you can learn so many principles. Well, before we go to 3, let's look at 2, the end of 2. The Lord will show us what to watch out for. You have to pay attention to Him. He said he does things the right way. There's nothing wrong with the way the Lord does everything He does. Everything He does is well organized. It's well evaluated. And timing is very important. You know, when you receive what God says, it's very important to meet it with timing. Now, Genesis 2 and 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God made, he made Adam somewhere else. And he put him, he took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he transported him like Philip. I don't know if he just grabbed him by the hand and let him see the earth from above and put him in. I don't know how he did it, but he put him in this garden to dress it and keep it. Now, I wrote a word a long time ago called the Garden of Heaven. And in the word, the Lord explained, he had me to explain that Adam was supposed to make Eden, the whole world, look like Eden. And he could have done it if he had stayed on course. But something happened. He was interrupted. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Every tree. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eat off every tree but that one. Don't eat that one. You'll die if you do. Now, every tree he can freely eat, but that one you'll die if you eat it. Very important. To that point, God had been very loving towards Adam. He made him right. He put him in the garden, the best part of the earth, to dress it and keep it. Gave him something to do. He wanted to do it. He was good at it. Because when God gives you something to do, there's an anointing for it. When he named the animals, you know, I don't know how he could remember them all, but he did. Well, you see, when the closer man gets to creation, I've noticed they spoke with greater wisdom. And they had greater capabilities. See, our bodies we have degraded since that time. The human body was much stronger. A lot of things were different. As time go on, our race gets weaker and weaker. Though we can do some interesting things, it's declining. There's a decline happening for a lot of reasons. But the closer you get to Adam, you see men talking more intelligently. The further they get away from Adam, if you study the Word of God, I give you a for instance. Job was written 400 years before Genesis, because he lived 400 years approximately before Moses. So anyway, the dialogue of Job and his friends was, they had a lot of knowledge. And they broke through to get that knowledge. When Satan picked it, when he was looking for a way to, he was actually looking for a new Nimrod. That's what he was doing. He was walking to and fro on the earth to find another replacement for Nimrod. I knew that by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" See, the enemy walked right into a trap. It's not that he wasn't sinister on purpose. That was a technicality that he was not aware of. He feared. He said, "The things that I greatly feared has come upon me." He said that out of his own mouth. And it happened. That's why Satan said, he told the Lord, "You got him hedged about." The Lord said, "He's in your hands." Satan didn't know it, so Satan's not perfect. He don't see everything like God does. But see, when you look at the wisdom in this, it gives us a snapshot of what Satan is all about, what man is capable of, and what God is capable of in man. It showed us the average knowledge of Job and his friend, which was scripture knowledge. You can live by the comments of all these men. The problem was his friends didn't, they thought Job was sinister. And Job was being, he felt misunderstood by them. So when he explained himself, the wells of you know, deep calls to deep. The knowledge that was in his heart was drawn out in his words. And the knowledge that was in his friends was drawn out through Job's words. When Job had a response, then they come. And if you, the dialogue of these guys was over the top. And the Lord always has a ram in the bush, so to speak. You got Job and his three friends. And then this young man named Elihu comes about and reproves them all. They wore each other out talking. They talked till they didn't have any more strength to talk. Then Elihu came and spoke and brought things, and that gave, that prepared them for when the Lord would speak out of the whirlwind. That's when the revelation came. And that's how Job understood chapter 1 and 2 for once. And when he prayed for his friends, that's when God multiplied his life. He gave him double of everything that he had. That's a multiplication. To multiply is to at least double. And he doubled everything he had. He had 10 children. And my pastor said, well, one preacher said, in, you know, in seminary that, well, if he got double, he only had 10 children, but everything else was double. So that's a flaw. And my pastor said, no, that's not a flaw. They forgot he had 10 children in paradise. See, God think of everything. People think they got everything so figured out. And they miss the detail. If God said he got double, he got double. Look for it. Nevertheless, the point was, when people are closer to Adam, they had more knowledge and wisdom. Now, that is not just the good, but the bad as well. They knew things too. When Nimrod, when they built that tower to Babylon, I was reading in the book of Jashub. I think that was the book of Jashub. That thing was, this is how big it was. It was 3 days' walk, the base was. Now, this is a man way back then could walk 3 days. That's how big the base was. And it was so tall. I don't know how they had a lot of strength, wisdom, and knowledge to do that. And even the Lord said, nothing should be impossible to them. I don't know how they did it. But when God judged it, an earthquake happened and it sunk down in the ground. Then a fire came and burned up the top of it. It's in the book of Jasher. And it's history. And it's evidence. That thing can be found. Now, what people are capable of, it's amazing what people are actually capable of doing. You know, when you look at skyscrapers, the iron workers, it's amazing how they do. The engineers, they design this stuff. In 9/11, when the plane hit the tower, it didn't collapse. It didn't fall over. It stood there. But it knocked the fire protection off. If they had better fire protection, it wouldn't have fallen. But once it knocked the fire protection off, it melted the steel and it collapsed straight down. So you have to listen. You have to look at what people are capable of. We're made in God's image. Never forget that. But we may have more technology. That's because communication is better. But the real knowledge, the knowledge of God, is better the closer you get to Adam. And God gave more knowledge over time. And people who study it, And allow the Holy Spirit and yield to the Holy Spirit, they learned knowledge increased. Knowledge did increase. But the people, if you took the people of then and put them here now, their memory was better. They learned faster. Because they did amazing things without computers. Their architecture was good. The closer you get to Adam, the more knowledgeable they were, the stronger they were. So, I made that point. Let's continue on. Now, when God do something, he thinks of everything. Everything. All right. He told the man he should surely die. Of every tree of the knowledge, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Warning, don't eat of that. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an help fit for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, all fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam that was not found an help for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. See, God, he knows what he's doing. And Adam saw all these animals. It didn't say he named all the species of fish, but the land animals he did. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. After seeing that every animal had a mate, the male and the female, Adam, he noticed that there was no help fit for him. See, he said, but for Adam, that was not found and help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. Now, listen to me. The Lord, before he had him name the animals, the Lord decided that he's the creator. He has a right to do this. The Lord said, it is not good for that the man should be alone. I will make him an help fit for him. So God is loving. Then God, he had Adam to name the creatures, all the animals, creatures. So Adam had a desire for a help that would be fit for him. And he probably prayed for it. Then the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Because God don't go against your will. You have to understand that. This was Adam's will. I can clearly see that it was. And Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. See, the love of a man and a wife is stronger than the love of others. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. See, they were clothed in the glory of God. I remember Pastor Webb pointed that out. They were clothed in the glory. You couldn't, if you saw them then in those days, that you would have saw the glory of God like what was on Moses' face. Again, closer you get to Adam, the more knowledgeable, the better the body was, the better the mind worked, the brain, everything. Now, there was nothing wrong. This was a time of period where man was innocent, and he was living at the zero line. There was nothing wrong. There was no decline. And when I talk about the zero line, I mean he was innocent. There was no sin in the earth, from Adam anyway. If Adam had children in that state of being, those children would still be alive if they didn't sin after the similitude of others. But he had children only after he sinned. So That's why all people must be born again. Now, here's the interrupter. Adam is in a good position. He's in the garden. He's in the best place of the earth. There's nothing wrong. And he's about to break out because of this. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now they're ashamed, see. They broke out. See, they broke out in verse 6. That's the opposite of breaking through. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They broke out of the kingdom of God into a realm that was not of God, called sin. And now they need a savior to get back up to the plane. You know, the zero line was where they lived. Now they fell away from it. They're in sin. They can't do anything about it. They resort to putting on fig leaves. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Sin began to operate in them, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they died that day. They died spiritually the moment they did it. And Adam lived to be 930 years. Didn't say how long Eve lived, but no man has ever lived a day with the Lord. A day to the Lord is 1,000 years. See, a restoration day is 24 hours. A covenant day is 1,000 years. So, Adam didn't make a day. We live about 10% of what Adam did. Because through sin, we couldn't be trusted to live that long. Man can only manage so much sin. So the Lord had to cut our life back. First 120 years, then 70 years. After people proved that that was too much time, the median of that is 95, and Adam lived to be 930 years. Methuselah lived to be 969 years. Moses lived to be, not Moses, but Noah lived to be 950 years. So the median is 95. That's about 10%. More or less, and what Adam is. So, you have to look at the wisdom of God. Man can't handle time and sin, but so much. Could you imagine, you know, Creflo Dollar said that, could you imagine a man like Hitler living in healthy for 200 years? You know, no. It'll be over the top, bad. That's why Nimrod was so dangerous. He lived a long time. So God cut our years back. Now, so the eyes of them both were open. Now watch this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, who happens to be the source of all strength, knowledge, wisdom, and power. They hid from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You see what sin did to them? When they broke out of the kingdom of God, the godly realm, they broke out of the godly realm. They lost it. Now we're trying to get back to it. We have a savior, And it takes us living the life of God to help people choose to break through the veil of darkness. Because everybody, even the most scholarly people, are still hiding from God in the cool of the day. Instead of spending time with the Lord, they find something else to do. And God is alive. He's proven it. Jesus said that when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So you would think logically that if you tell the average Christian, hey, the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you into all truth, they look at you like a calf at a new gate. Because they don't believe, they're looking at prayer and praying and spending time with God as a chore, not a privilege and a blessing. Some people think it's a waste of time. Well, I got so much other stuff to do. I got to take care of my kids. Anybody, if you spend time with the Lord will give you wisdom to raise your children better. But I'm a businessman. I got to make all these decisions. If you sit your behind down and spend time with the Lord, He will show you how to run your business better. Yeah, but my wife, she's been sick and this and that. If you spend time with the Lord, He'll show you how to help your wife or whatever you into, whatever you're doing. When people refuse the knowledge of God, they're still hiding in the fig leaves. They're dressed in fig leaves, and they're hiding from God's voice in the cool of the day. And they never break through, and they die that way. Except for the people that see the light and say, hey, I want that. When they have you have to have desire for the things of God. When you see people walking in the living love of God, couples, people, children, you know, people go to the park to get some fresh air. And when you see a happy family throwing frisbees, playing soccer, remote control airplanes, and everybody's happy, and babies in the basket, you know, and the couple's looking happy, you want that. The meanest people want that. They want that kind of love in their life. Then you got a lesbian couple or a gay couple, and they see people with children. They always want what God did in the first place, but they run from it like it's a plague. Then when they see it in operation, they want it. I'm not trying to pick on gay folks and lesbians. I'm showing you, when you follow Satan's path, it's not as good. He made it look good to bait you over there, and you broke away from the kingdom of God, or you stayed in the kingdom of darkness. But when you present it with the light, you have to break through and take it, because God gave it to you too. Jesus didn't just die for the good, He died for the wicked. He died for everybody. And it's not His will that you go to hell and live an ungodly life. Forever living dressed in fig leaves, hiding from God in the cool of the day. That doesn't make sense. I found out all the stuff that I used to allow to pressurize my life. When I spent time with the Lord, I learned how to change the facts on the ground where I was. I learned from Him how to change. And some things was more of a challenge than others. And I allowed God to help me in some areas more than others. Just being honest. But the habits of my business, it took the longest for me to release over to God. It was a greater challenge for me. But I did it. I eventually did it. And I'm doing it. But loving people, that changed everything. When I dialogue with God and the Holy Spirit guides me, I learn things that I can't come up with on my own. You learn things that man just can't teach you. And all you have to do is use it, and you automatically break through as you live. See, God made a way of escape. Let's look at it. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." See, That was no fear. God never gave man fear. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God didn't make him afraid. He became afraid when he broke out of the kingdom of God. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. See, this is why they messed up. She was deceived. Adam was not. And when Adam made off the tree, their eyes were both open. Verse 14. This is why the Lord could be born through a virgin, because the woman was really deceived. God, he told Adam what to do. Adam told Eve. She had secondhand information, and she was beguiled. So the Lord knows how to heal his people. Satan didn't know what to watch out for. See, 2 Corinthians said, I think it was 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at it before we go any further. I love this script. This is one of my, next favorite scripture. What my favorite scripture against the enemy is this. 1 Corinthians. Here we go. 2. I love this. He said, here it is, verse 8. But let's look at verse 7. This is Paul talking. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.